content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas by Bob Palomsky. And we left off last time with the topic of care, and this is for October. And now we go to lawns, the care of lawns in October. Mow cool season lawns often enough so that no more than one-third of the grass height is cut. Recycle grass clippings by leaving them on the lawn. Remove tree leaves from the lawn to reduce lawn problems and compost them or shred them to use as mulch around your flower or shrub border. For perennials and ornamental grasses, before the first freeze, mountain gardeners can take cuttings of Confederate rose, a full-blooming perennial that's marginally hardy in Zone 7B, where the top growth gets winter-killed and resprouts from the crown the following spring. The peony-like flowers can be either single or double, depending on the cultivar, and go through subtle color changes from light pink to red or white to pink to crimson. If you're concerned that the plant will not survive the upcoming winter, or if you choose to share this plant with friends, it roots very easily in water from cuttings taken in the fall. Pot up rooted cuttings and transplant them outside after the last freeze in spring to an area in full sun or partial shade. Cut back peonies hard after the first frost and compost the trimmings to reduce the chances of disease outbreaks. Prune perennials when their tops are nipped by cold. Some perennials produce seeds that are attractive to birds. Leave these plants standing as long as there are still seeds in them. For roses, if your climbing roses are in an exposed location, tie them up firmly with broad strips of rags so that the wind will not whip them against the trellis and bruise the bark. Roses grown in containers need to be put in the ground, container and all, in a protected area of the landscape. Mulch with a layer of compost. Stop deadheading spent plants. Remove petals with your hand to allow the rose hips to form, which helps trigger winter dormancy. For shrubs and trees, don't shear your shrubs now. It's too late. You'll have brown edged leaves all winter, and you may spark tender new growth that will be killed by the first freeze. If there are a few wayward branches, cut them back by hand. Wait until spring to do any major shaping. Continue to prune out dead, damaged, and diseased branches. Do not become alarmed if your yews, pines, arborvitae, and junipers begin to shed their interior needles. It is natural for them to do so at this time of year. Vines and ground covers. Dig up sweet potato tubers of Blackie, Margarita, Pink Frost, and others of the Sweet Carolina Sweetheart series and store them in a cool, dry location for replanting next year. The tubers have eyes that will sprout once they're back in the ground. In the mountains, mulch newly planted vines and ground cover after the ground freezes. After the ground freezes, the pests should have found other winter quarters, reducing the chances of their bedding down in the mulch next to your new plantings. Annual vines that have been killed with first freeze should be cut back from their supports and composted or buried in the vegetable garden. For water gardening, Oxygenating plants should be cut back hard in the fall. Remove dead leaves from marginals. Move any cold, hardy aquatic plants to the lowest part of the pond or water garden. After the first killing frost, trim away the dead leaves of your hardy water lilies. In the mountains, where ice will form on the ponds, move the pots to the deepest part of your pond, at least 2 feet or more in depth. Rest assured that hardy water lilies will overwinter in the Carolinas. They're hardy to zone 3, as long as their roots are protected from freezing. To store a tropical water lily, follow the steps above. And that's when you stop blooming in the fall, are going dormant with the cooler temperatures, take them out of the pool. Gently remove the plant from the pot and wash away the soil. Look for a smooth black walnut-sided tuber beneath the crown. Separate the tuber and put in water. If the tuber sinks, it's alive and can be stored over the winter. If the tuber floats, discard it. Store the tubers over the winter in a plastic bag filled with cool, damp sand. Put the tuber inside the bag and top it off with more sand. Seal and label the bag with the name of the variety and store the bag in a cool 55 to 60 degree Fahrenheit location. If you want to overwinter your tropical marginal plants, move them indoors and treat them like houseplants. Set them on a water-filled saucer in a bright south-facing window. They need 10 to 12 hours of light to remain healthy throughout the winter months, so consider supplementing natural sunlight with fluorescent light. Prevent the pond from freezing. Any organic matter trapped at the bottom of the pond may decay, producing toxic levels of methane gases that can be toxic to fish. Install a pump or a heater designed for water garden pools. Remove any fallen debris or dead plants in the water. After the first frost, trim away any dead leaves from marginals and compost them. And now on watering in October. For annuals, keep an eye on the watering needs of your annuals, especially emerging seedlings and newly set out transplants. Check the soil for moisture. Don't wait until the plants begin to wilt. Rake up fallen pine needles and use them for mulch. For bulbs, if fall is dry, provide sufficient water to newly planted spring flowering bulbs. Check bulbs being forced in beds or cold frames and water them to keep the potting medium moist, but not sopping wet. For edibles, cool seasoned vegetables perk up in the milder areas and grow vigorously. Water during dry spells and feed as necessary. For lawns, newly seeded or sodded lawns should be watered frequently. As the seedlings emerge and the sod knits into the soil, gradually water less frequently but more deeply. And for perennials and ornamental grasses, add mulch to your perennial border. A 2-inch layer of weed-free straw or chopped leaves will help conserve soil moisture, protect root systems, and reduce plant loss from soil heaving during the winter. Keep new plantings watered if the weather is dry. Established gardens may need water as well, so they won't go into winter with insufficient moisture. For roses and shrubs, water newly planted roses and shrubs if there's sufficient rain. Fall can be dry time in the Carolinas, so don't rely on Mother Nature to water newly planted shrubs. Water frequently, checking the soil and root ball before watering. Water deeply and infrequently. Trees. Water evergreens thoroughly before the ground freezes in the mountains. Evergreens continue to lose water by transpiring during the winter, But when the ground is frozen, they cannot replenish the water. In fall and early winter, don't forget to water newly planted trees to help them become established. A few weeks after planting, start reducing watering to every few days or longer, especially with cloudy, rainy, or cool weather. Eventually, water on an as-needed basis by testing the soil and root ball for moisture. For water gardens, maintain the water level in your pond. The plants and fish that overwinter outdoors in the pond can use the depth. And now we go on to fertilize. Annuals. Use a slow-release fertilizer at planting time to lightly fertilize hardy annuals such as calendula, pansies, and sweet alyssum. This will encourage establishment and flowering. For lawns, wait until next month to fertilize cool-season lawns. For perennials and ornamental grasses, do not fertilize this late in the season. Allow the perennials to go dormant so they can tolerate the winter weather. For roses, stop fertilizing your roses 6 weeks before your expected first freeze. And for shrubs, vines, and ground covers, to add nutrient supplement mulch with well-rotted horse or cow manure. Do not fertilize when these plants are displaying their fall colors. Wait until next year. And our next topic is problem solving. For annuals, inspect the annuals you brought inside for the winter. White flies and spider mites could have hitchhiked their way inside. Keep the plants quarantined and control pests before you introduce them to your other indoor plants. Insecticidal soap applied to the upper and lower leaf surfaces will control these pests. If the plant is not listed on the label, you may have to test a small area on your plant for injury. It may take 7 to 10 days to see if any damage occurs. If your plant shows sensitivity, rinse the soap off once the whiteflies and spider mites are killed. Leaf spots may be a problem on zinnias and other warm season annuals. Because they're going to be removed or killed by impending cold temperatures, a fungicide may not be necessary. Any heavily infested plants can be pulled out immediately. For bulbs, watch out for storage diseases, including fusarium, bulb rot, and botrytis. Avoid damaging bulbs and tubers when lifting them out of the ground to be stored. Weeds, especially weedy grasses, may be in beds. Hand pull or hoe out the clumps. For edibles, clean up the garden. Remove any diseased or insect-infested plant debris. That's where peas spend the winter. That's where pests, spend the winter. Cabbage loopers and cabbage worms are the bane of the fall garden. If your cabbage leaves resemble lace, spray with BTK, sold as Dipyl or Thuricide. This microbial insecticide will not harm humans, but will put a stop to hungry caterpillars. Control aphids with insecticidal soap. For lawns, if fire ants have cropped up in your lawn or landscape, control them with the two-step method described. Examine the yellowish to brownish spots in your St. Augustine grass lawn for chinch bugs. Use the coffee can technique to sample for them at the edge of the damaged areas. Fairy rings may appear as a ring of mushrooms or simply as a dark green ring of lush grass. The ring may vary from a few inches to several feet in diameter. Fairy rings are caused by soil-inhabiting fungi that feed on old roots, stumps, and thatch. Fairy ring fungi are not plant parasites, but they can cause the lawn to dry out because their fungal bodies make the soil repel water. Fairy rings are difficult to control. Be patient and allow them to disappear over time. Watering the ring to saturate the soil for several hours and over several days may help. As a last resort, replace the infested soil occupied by the fairy ring with clean soil. Large patch is a devastating disease, especially on St. Augustine's grass in the fall. Hand pull or spot treat chickweed, henbit, and other winter annuals with a broadleaf herbicide. Use a herbicide labeled for your lawn grass and for the weeds you're trying to control. Florida betony is a cool season perennial weed that emerges from seeds and tubers during the cool, moist months of fall. Throughout the winter months, it grows and spreads rapidly. Spot treat with herbicide while it's actively growing this month. Perennials and ornamental grass. Clean up the dead leaves from around your perennial flowers. If left on the ground, leaves and stems can harbor diseases and provide convenient places for pests to spend the winter. Hoe or hand pull any weeds in the beds to prevent them from going to seed and to prevent the younger weeds from settling in for the winter. Mulch with a shallow layer to suppress emerging weeds. For roses, sorry, but spider mites can still be active in the warmer parts of the Carolinas. Because your roses will shed their leaves soon, control may not be necessary. Controlling the overwintering eggs with a dormant horticultural oil this fall, when the rose goes dormant, may be all that's needed. Rake and clean up the garden to get rid of black spot spores that can overwinter on the leaves. If powdery mildew is a problem, control may not be necessary because we're approaching the end of the season and leaves will be shed. For shrubs, spider mites can still be active in the warmer parts of the Carolinas. Control the overwintering eggs with a dormant horticultural oil this fall when the shrubs go dormant. Prune out infected limbs and rake up dead leaves to remove any overwintering fungal diseases. Keep the area around your shrubs free of weeds to eliminate any overwintering hideouts for two-spotted spider mites. If you'd like to make your own repellent, mix 2 tablespoons of homemade hot pepper sauce per gallon of water, or blend 2 or 3 rotten eggs in a gallon of water and spray it on your plants. Dried ground red peppers, ground black pepper, or chili powder are other repellents that can be dusted on or near flowers. To be efficient, they will have to be reapplied after rain or heavy dew, and quite often to new plant growth. Be aware that some of the repellents designed for mammals may kill non-targeted beneficial insects. Before choosing a course of action, weigh the benefits of the treatment versus the level of acceptable damage. For trees, control the overwintering bagworm eggs with a dormant horticultural oil this fall when the plants go dormant. It may be all that's needed to kill the eggs and any active mites that may be present. Remove and destroy bagworm bags on narrow-leaved evergreens. Eggs overwinter in the bags produced by the female and will hatch out next spring. Old fallen leaves contain the disease spores for the next year's plant infections. If you have diseased plants, prune out infected branches in the late fall and winter when the disease-causing organism is inactive. Remove any infected debris from around the plant's base and dispose of it. To protect your trees against whitetail deer damage, there are a number of deterrents. Remember, deer will become accustomed to any object, so alternating items will help. Hang bars of strong scented soap or mesh bags filled with human hair on the outer branches with no more than 3 feet between them. Chemical deer repellents also can be applied. To be effective, repellents will have to be reapplied if there is rain or heavy dew. They will have to be applied often to new plant growth. The only technique that ensures safety from deer is fencing. Both woven wire fences and multi-strand electric fencing will do the job, but their construction can be elaborate and expensive. An alternative fencing material, 7.5 foot black mesh, black plastic mesh, is nearly invisible and can be used to completely surround your plantings. To learn more about these and other techniques for keeping deer at bay, contact your local cooperative extension service. For vines and ground cover, clean up plantings to get rid of diseased leaves. Weeds continue to germinate and emerge. Hand pull them while they're young and suppress their growth with mulch. For water gardens, trim away any damaged, dead, diseased, or pest-ridden leaves. Compost them or bring them into the garden to be buried to enrich the soil. And we've come to the end of October and the beginning of November. And here the November says, anticipation. It reminds me of that ketchup commercial from the late 70s with Carly Simon singing, anticipation. It makes me late. It's keeping me waiting. It also reminds me of gardening. Waiting, anticipating the appearance of flowers, fruits, or fall color. That's what we do. I'm already looking forward to next year. Sure, I appreciate the flowering dogwoods donning their red and purple finery and the light pink Confederate rose flowers changing to red, but I want to see my fall planting bulbs in bloom next spring. I hope to see the deciduous magnolias escape any springtime freezes as their large fuzzy green flower buds give rise to magnificent jaw-dropping flowers. I'll have to wait until next fall to see the green globes of goldrush goldenrod, tapy silk, toad lily, and first light swamp sunflower explosion explode into bloom. Not everyone is willing to wait for a plant to do something. That's why annuals exist. Their sole mission is to flower every waking moment until the first frost, perfect for folks who want immediate gratification. What you see is what you get, day after day after day. Fortunately, not all plants behave like annuals. Asiatic lilies, for example, make gardening fun and exciting. Over several weeks, they produce long, slender green stems that eventually bears clusters of balloon-like flower buds. Soon they open to reveal majestic flowers that last for a brief but glorious time. The same goes for color guard yucca, which flaunts a 3-foot-tall flower stalk in midsummer. The days go by as I watch and wait for those white flower buds to open. For those gardeners who are willing to delay their gratification, they do it for economic reasons. One gardening friend is slowly converting her tall fescue lawn to Bermuda grass. Her cost-effective and clever approach involves cutting out 2-foot-wide circles of turf and planting 6-inch plugs of Bermuda grass in the center of each bare spot. From a distance, the lawn looks pockmarked. In an area plugged last year, I can see a clash of textures between the fine-leaved Bermuda and the wide-bladed, coarse-textured fescue. The fescue is rapidly losing ground. It may take a few years for the lawn to become completely Bermuda grass, but what is time to a seasoned gardener? Her plugging approach saves money and curbs soil erosion. It also reminds me that if anticipation is good for ketchup, then it must be a whole lot better for gardening. And we'll start November with a plan. Annuals and edibles. Garden tools can add up to a large investment. Make plans this month to clean them off and repair or replace any broken ones. As soon as seed flats and pots are emptied of fall transplants, wash and sterilize them with a 10% bleach solution, 1 part bleach to 9 parts water, before storing them so they'll be ready in the spring. This is also a good month to think about building a cold frame, which is like a halfway house for seedlings as they make their way from the windowsill or light table to the outdoors. The cold frame is basically a bottomless box made of wood, stone, or brick with a transparent or translucent cover, like a miniature unheated greenhouse outdoors. Cold frames are typically rectangular in shape, 3 by 6 feet or so. The back of the cold frame should face north and should be 18 to 30 inches high. The front should be slightly lower, between 12 and 24 inches, to allow enough headroom for the plants inside. Tilt the cover to the south by sloping the sides about 1 inch per foot. More adventurous gardeners can even add, an automatic opener to the cover. These devices lift the cover automatically as the temperature rises during the day and gradually close it with the falling evening temperatures. For bulbs, while bulbs are commonly planted in formal beds, borders, and even containers, many lend themselves to naturalized plantings where they bloom and spread in ever-widening drifts. Plan to create some naturalized areas in your landscape in the following ways. Randomly scatter crocuses, daffodils, grape hyacinths, snowdrops, and snowflakes, and plant them where they fall. They look better when planted in clumps or drifts, so you may have to move them around. These bulbs will root and establish themselves by spring. Plant spring flowering bulbs along the edge of woodland areas or beneath the canopies of deciduous trees. They should receive plenty of sunlight there and finish blooming by the time the trees leaf out. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.